Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way.
Today I want to speak to you or to ask the question, what will you give Christ this Christmas? In Matthew's Gospel chapter 2, we're introduced to three main characters in our story. We're introduced to the Magi and the King Herod, and we're also introduced to some religious leaders. And before I sit down this morning, I want to take a look at these three characters, these three groups, to find out what, if anything, they gave to Christ that first Christmas. First, I want to suggest to you that the Magi gave Christ their worship. After Jesus was born, Magi, or if you're using the King James or some of the other versions, it tells us that wise men came from the east and they arrived in Jerusalem. They were most likely from Persia, today's northern Iran, and had traveled thousands of miles to get to Jerusalem. But who are these Magi? You know, we all know the famous carol, "We three kings of Orient are." Now, I don't want to burst your bubble, but it's unlikely there were only three men. You see, the Bible gives us no record of their number. And let me burst your bubble a little bit more. It's unlikely there were kings. Now, please don't stop singing the carol. It's okay. I'm not criticizing the carol, but I just want to set the record straight. It wasn't three, and it wasn't three kings. You see, Brian, where did they get this carol from? Well, when we get to the end, you'll see it's because they gave three gifts. There were gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and so everybody says three gifts, three kings. Not necessarily. These men used astronomical observation and astrological speculation to predict the future. The Magi had great political and religious influence because they were predictors. They were the ones the kings would come to. If you're going to have a war, you would come to the Magi because they were the ones who had some ability to predict. They were members of the king's inner circle. They were great men of wealth and status. Men of such status, they would not be traveling by themselves through enemy territory. Men of such status would have servants to take care of them. They would have to eat. They would need an incredible amount of supplies to make such a long journey. Scholars suggest there may have been as many as 300 persons in the travel party. No wonder their arrival in Jerusalem caused such a sensation. Reading the scriptural text, when the Magi arrived in Jerusalem, it's obvious it caused quite a big sensation. Now, why did they go to all this trouble? What was prompting the Magi? They were prompted by faith. I believe the Magi were prompted by faith. They believed God was using his star to lead them to Christ. This was faith in action. You know, the Bible tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Listen, my friend, as you have come into God's house this morning, I want you to know, just like the Magi exercised faith and they found the Lord, you cannot find God without faith. My Bible tells me that without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to God must believe that God, what? That God exists. Some of you are here this morning and you said, I have not come to Christ yet. I will not come until I have all my questions answered. You don't need to have all your questions answered. We come to Christ by faith. They were so motivated by faith. They would not allow any inconvenience difficulty or danger to prevent them from meeting Christ. Nothing would stop their determination. I don't know about you, but I have found out that Jesus is worth seeking. Amen. May I ask you a question? What's stopping you from seeking the Savior? These magi traveled thousands of miles. It might have taken them up to 2 years to find the Savior. I need to ask you, what's stopping you? Why aren't you seeking the Savior? You know, I found out that sometimes relationships stop people from seeking the Savior. Sometimes I find out that a girl likes a guy who doesn't want anything to have to do with Jesus. And so because she doesn't want to lose him, she doesn't want to come to Jesus. Do you know that actually happens? Sometimes young people recognize they need to come to Jesus, but they're afraid of their peer pressure. They're afraid that there's somebody who may laugh at them, make fun of them, and said, "What? Are you crazy? You got religion? You must be crazy." Not only they were prompted by faith, not only they would not allow anything to stop their determination, these magi were determined to worship Jesus. And so in verse 2 of the text, they ask, as they've come to Jerusalem, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." All this travel was for one reason. They desired to worship Jesus. True worship doesn't come cheap. My generation and the generation after is looking for convenient worship. God, I'll check you out when it's convenient. God, if I have a minute. These men were not even Jews. These men traveled thousands of miles that they could worship Jesus. Sometimes I don't even want to travel 5 miles. As I was preparing, I started thinking a little bit about who were the guests in his early life. You know, the shepherds were the only guests at his birth. Luke 2 tells us they were abiding in the field when the angels gave them the wonderful news. "Behold, I bring you what? Good tidings of great joy, for to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, Christ the Lord." Just imagine though, this was the birthday of the Savior, and the only guests were the shepherds. Now don't get me wrong, shepherding is a noble occupation, but shepherding had its downside, amen? Shepherding was a low-paying job, and since sheep needed constant attention and protection, shepherds didn't keep the Sabbath. From the standpoint of the religious elite, the shepherds were a sinful bunch of poor people. The one who he chose was this bunch of poor sinners. Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 32, Jesus said, "I have not come to what? To call the righteous, but I have come to call sinners to repentance." And I don't know about you, but I'm glad Jesus didn't come to call the righteous, because I'm being very honest, if he had come to call the righteous, I would have missed the cut. And just in case you think you would have made the cut, you would have missed the cut too, because none of us were righteous. My Bible says all of us were sinners. Shepherds were the only one at his birth. And now, in today's text, we have the visit of the Magi. By the way, I hope you realize Jesus is no longer a tiny baby. When the Magi arrived, he was no longer a baby. In fact, the Greek word that Luke uses for baby and the Greek that Matthew uses is two different Greek words. One is talking about a baby and one is talking about a child. Jesus could be as old as 2 years old by the time the Magi have arrived. So the shepherds were poor Jews. The Magi were rich Gentiles. Did you see that? The first arrivals, the first ones that God brings to see this brand new Savior. He brings some poor Jews and then he brings some rich Gentiles because God had sent a Savior for the whole world. A Savior for all social classes, whether you are rich or poor, it doesn't matter. He is your Savior. God sent him for you. A Savior for all races, whether you are a Jew or a Gentile, it does not matter. And I want to ask you, my friend, do you know him? Is he your Savior? Come on now, young person, older person, have you received him as your personal Savior? The Magi came to worship. Herod, on the other hand, rejected Christ. Herod was too focused on himself. Look with me there at Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, verse number 3. And here it says, when King Herod heard this, what are we talking about? That the Magi had come saying, we have seen his star. Where is he born, King of the Jews? The Bible says, when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. Herod rejected Christ because he was too focused on himself. You said, Brother Brian, why was Herod so alarmed? Herod the Great was not from the line of David. He was a descendant of Esau, not Jacob. Now you remember, the Jews came from Jacob, right? Herod was not a descendant of Jacob. Herod was a descendant of Esau. He was an Edomite, not a Jew. And as a result of though Herod, king of the Jews, he was king of the Jews, but he was not a Jew. And as a result, the Jews, many of the Jews, never accepted him as their king. So when Herod heard that the Magi was saying that a child had been born king of the Jews, he feared his job was in jeopardy. So he called the religious leaders to find out, where is this Christ to be born? And after getting the answer, you know the scripture, Herod called the Magi, the wise men, privately and found out when they first saw the star. And he then sent them to Bethlehem with instructions. When you find the child, come and tell me. Whenever you find the baby, please come and tell me. Because listen, once I know where Jesus is, I want to come and worship him also. Was that for real? What hypocrisy. Young people, you know there are some Herods around. I need to just drop this in here as I'm passing by. You better watch out for these Herods. Girls, watch out for these guys. Just because you're looking so fine, he just can't control. He can't help himself. He's not saved, but he know you're not going to give him an opportunity unless he pretends to be a Christian. So guess what he's going to do? He's going to be a Herod on you. Sometimes you got to be a fruit inspector. You understand what I'm saying? My Bible says by their fruit you will know them. I don't want to hear this young man or young woman tell me how he loved Jesus. I want to see Jesus, how he loves him, coming out of his life. But listen, let me get back to Herod. Herod rejected. Here's the second thing I want to point out about Herod. He rejected Jesus, although he knew that he was the Christ. Is that interesting? He knew. He actually said to them, verse number 4, when he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them, where the Christ was to be born. That I find fascinating. He knew exactly who he was. He knew that this was the Christ. But he wanted him dead. Verse number 13. In case those of you who are new to the passage of scripture. Verse number 13. When they had gone, that's the Magi, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said. God tells Joseph, get up. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. Herod wants him dead. Why does Herod want him dead? Because Jesus is going to mess up his lifestyle. Jesus has, there is a possibility that he may lose power. He may lose control. And he doesn't care who Jesus is. He knows who he is. But as far as he's concerned, get rid of him. Herod rejected Christ because it would mess his game plan. Young lady, why have you rejected Christ? Don't tell me you don't know who he is. Some people like to hide behind that smoke screen. I don't really know if he's the Savior. Yes, you know exactly who he is. But there's some person here this morning who, like Herod, you know who he is. That God sent him to be your Savior. But you have rejected him. But thirdly, the religious leaders neglected Christ. Look with me at verse number 5. It says here, Herod comes to the religious leaders and he says, tell me where the Christ is to be born. It's amazing to me. Herod is the one who makes the connection. Listen, did you notice the first time the name Christ is mentioned is from Herod's lips? The Magi say, where is he born king? Herod is the one who says, it's Christ. He has made the connection. And so Herod now makes the connection and he goes to the religious leaders and he says, where's Christ to be born? And the religious leaders, they come back, they study the scripture quickly and they say conclusively, he's to be born in Bethlehem in Judea. Here's the first point I want to make about the religious leaders. They neglected Christ, although they were the ones who shared the scripture about him. If you are a religious leader, you've been teaching that the Messiah is coming. Now, the Jews, you might not know this historically, but the Jews have been waiting for this Messiah for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. And now, ladies and gentlemen, announcing the birth of the Messiah. What would you do? Would you send the Magi to find him, or would you go to him? Just think of that. Now, here's what I want to point out. The second thing. The religious leaders neglected Christ, although he was very near. Do you know how near? Those of us who went on the tour to Jerusalem, we can remember how close Bethlehem was to Jerusalem. Bethlehem is only 5 to 6 miles away. You have been waiting on the Messiah for hundreds and hundreds of years, and now you hear that he is arrived, he is born, and you say, you know, you'll find him in, let me give you the directions. Get something out. I'll tell you where to find him. Doesn't that shock you? I am puzzled as to how could these religious leaders be so cavalier that they, their Messiah, that they have been waiting on, and you're the one teaching everybody about this Messiah. The Messiah that you have been waiting on has arrived. And you just sit. You can't even be bothered. You just can't be bothered. Why should I make the effort? But do you know what really surprises me? Can I tell you something really shocks me? I'm really puzzled as to why some of you here have been neglecting the Savior. That is one of the things that shocks me. I am really shocked that some individuals will come under the sound of the Word of God over and over again. They hear the truth of the gospel. They realize that they're sinners. They realize that Jesus Christ died for their sin. And they say, I can't bother. I just can't be bothered. This morning, I want you to know, sir, young lady, I want you to know Jesus is very near. In the case of the religious leaders, Jesus was so near. He was only 5 miles away, but they weren't motivated. Listen, do you know how close Jesus is to you? The song says he's only a prayer away. Right now, there are some of you that the Spirit of God is knocking on the door of your heart. He's only a prayer away. Let me finish by talking about some gifts for Christ this Christmas. Number one, we need to seek him today. In verses 9 and 10, the Bible tells us here, after they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. Seek him today. They were seeking him. The star had stopped. This was the house, and the Bible said they were exceedingly glad because they had found the Savior. Oh, I don't know about you, but I am telling you, salvation brings great joy. Thank God for this, the joy of a soul set free. You know, it's just wonderful. You're here this morning and you don't know anything about what I'm talking about because you've never really received Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. I just want you to know the great thrill it is in my life to know that my sins are forgiven, to know that there is nothing that can prevent me from getting to heaven because there is a spot in heaven reserved. I want to tell you that is joy, joy, joy. The song of a soul set free. But secondly, not only do we need to seek him today, but number two, we need to worship him. We need to worship him. Verse number 11, and it says, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. They worshiped him. He was only a child, but they worshiped him. Why? Did it ever strike you? Why did they worship him? And he was only a child. They were worshiping this child because they realized that this child was God incarnate. It was God who had pressed himself into human flesh. And they fell down and worshiped him. Those of us who are Christians, that one of the things we need to offer as a gift to God this Christmas, some of us need to make a recommitment to worship this Christmas. Will you recommit to God? God, my gift to you this Christmas is a recommitment to worship. But third, they gave him what? Gold, incense or frankincense, and myrrh. Honor him with your giving. That's the third thing. Honor him with your giving. These were expensive gifts. Listen, we don't honor God by only giving him what we can conveniently spare. Gold. They gave gold. Gold, a gift for royalty. Because Jesus is king. And one day, my Bible tells me that King Jesus will sit on his throne. Jesus Christ will actually set up a throne on this earth and he will reign. But they brought him incense or frankincense, a gift for deity. Jesus is God. I know some folks may have a problem with that, but the only reason why Jesus Christ can save us is because as God, he never ever sinned, and he could be your perfect substitute and my perfect sinless substitute. But myrrh, a spice for a person who is going to die. The angel said, you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Jesus Christ had to die. The only way he could be your Savior is that he had to die. This was all in the plan of God. Jesus Christ, God sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he became my substitute. Jesus Christ, he lived a perfect, sinless life. And then he went to the cross of Calvary. And he gave up his life. From his birth, the story was about his death. Gold, Jesus is king. Frankincense, Jesus is God. Myrrh, Jesus was born to die. Herod rejected Christ. It's like those people, we will not have this man to reign over us. The religious leaders, they neglected. The Bible says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? So I close with the question as I started. What gift will you give to Christ this Christmas? Can I tell you what he really wants? He wants me. He wants you. You say, I've never yet. I don't even know if he has saved me. Well, that's where it starts. That's where it starts. It starts with your coming to him this morning and saying, Lord Jesus, I am so glad that you came to die for my sin. And I want you to be my Savior. I'm giving you my life. Will you save me? Well, there's some of us who are Christians. He still wants. Let's be honest. Sometimes we're Christians, but we still sort of running things. God saying, it's Christmas. I want you.
Living God's Way is the broadcast ministry of the Germantown Christian Assembly, located at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to join us for worship each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. and for Tuesday night community connections every Tuesday at 6 p.m. And now, on behalf of Pastor Brian Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you to tune in the same time next week for another edition of Living God's Way.